We're going to let the children go to their classes. And we are going to nearly finish Romans 15. It's very interesting, the providence of God bringing us to this point. We have 4 verses left in the chapter. And today we're going to cover 3 of those. And we have just 1 left for next week. And next week is our last opportunity to be in Romans 15. And it will be our last opportunity to be in Romans at all for a month, because Reformation Month comes in October. And so very providential today, we just went over that verse where they said to the apostle, when they realized they could not persuade him, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." And we are looking at that today in Romans chapter 15. We'll begin reading there in the 24th verse of Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 24. Let us see God's word. The apostle says here, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things or material things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless this reading and our meditation this afternoon. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we confess our absolute dependence upon Thee, that without Thee we can do nothing, not even sin, unless Thou dost give us breath and heartbeat, life, O God. We do confess how sinful it is to take Thy blessings and to turn them into sin against Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We confess to Thee our need of the precious blood. Lord, we confess that even our prayers need washing in the blood of Jesus. So Lord, abide with us, we pray. Show us something that will do us good today. When we leave, O Lord, may we know that we have profited from Thy holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are taking verses 30 through 32 as our text. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. The Apostle John lived to be an old man, the last of the apostles. He had the privilege of teaching the gospel to many. And some of them that he taught would become pastors themselves. Two of the most well-known of John's disciples, that is, John the Beloved's disciples, their names were Polycarp and Ignatius. They were very close friends. Ignatius became pastor in Antioch, and over 600 miles away, his friend Polycarp became the bishop of Smyrna. Now, one day the Roman emperor came to Antioch. The emperor's name was Trajan, and Ignatius, the pastor of the Christians in the city of Antioch, was brought before Trajan. The emperor, looking very sternly at the young pastor, Ignatius, said, "You are to sacrifice to the Roman gods or you will die." Ignatius refused to sacrifice. Instead, he began telling Trajan what Christians believed. He went through the great doctrines of the gospel. And Trajan became furious and he shouted, "Take him to Rome. Let the lions eat him and let him entertain the citizens. Get him out of my sight." Well, Ignatius was taken to Rome. And as he made his way to Rome over the long journey with the soldiers guarding him, there were various Christians in different places that would come out and walk with him and tell him of plans they had devised for his rescue. And he said, Ignatius asked the Christians not to do anything to stop or to hinder his martyrdom. He even wrote a letter to the believers in Rome that when he got there, they would do nothing to try to rescue him. This was quite a different message than Paul sent to the believers in Rome. Paul was actually wanting the Christians to pray for him that his life would be spared. Did you notice that here? He says in verse 31, the prayer that he's asking them to pray is that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He was praying the very opposite, that his life would be spared. Now we're looking this afternoon at this prayer of Paul. He's asking the believers in Rome to pray for him, and he has five desires. I want you to notice these five specific desires, these great desires of the apostle. First of all, he asked the Roman believers to pray for me. Do you see that? Right there in verse 30. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." He wanted them to pray for him. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for them to send a large group of them to come and protect him. No. Paul understood the enormous value of prayer. He prayed himself. He prayed much, but he understood the great power of others praying for him. Such is the case of every minister of the Word of God. Paul understood his own weakness. He knew how weak he was without the Lord's power. So he asked them, he begged them. He said, I beseech you. I beseech you, brethren, to pray for me. Now, this is very important. Every minister of the gospel could pray this prayer that others and ask others to pray for them. And I join with Paul. I beg you for Jesus' sake to pray for me. Pray that the Holy Spirit will fill me so that I will be enabled to minister the Word of God with power. And I'm praying for that young man who's coming across the road, just 50 years old, that God will make him a man of fire, because I know that there are people praying in that congregation that the Lord will use him to clean it up. They told me those very words. So we need to pray for ministers. Paul understood the need. He said, I want you to strive together with me in your prayers. Do you notice that word strive? The word strive in the Greek is actually agonize. He is asking them to agonize with him in prayer. What does he mean? Well, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, the scripture says of him being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. You know, it's very easy for us to just whisper a little one-minute prayer or a quick hello to God and go on with our day. No, he means a prayer with feeling. Earnestness in prayer. A prayer of putting your very heart and soul into the prayer. That's what it means. So first, the first desire he expresses is that they pray for him personally. His desire was not only for them to pray for him, but secondly, to pray specifically for his deliverance from those who hated him in Judea. Notice the term he uses there in verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He was being very charitable. He simply said to pray concerning them that do not believe. It was a nice way of saying they're wicked people. They're rejectors of Jesus the Messiah. But he simply said, they don't believe. The ones that don't believe in Judea. They hated Paul. They hated him with a deadly hatred, and they wanted to kill him. They looked on him as an apostate from the faith of their fathers. They had a special venom against Paul because his ministry was primarily to the Gentiles, and they looked on Gentiles as filthy, unclean, and they looked on Paul as a destroyer of their law. He was teaching the Gentiles not to keep the ceremonial law. Paul was very tender toward the Gentiles. Notice how he expressed there in verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren. Lot called the Sodomites brethren, but Paul called the Roman believers brethren. Now, they looked on Paul as a wicked apostate. So a group of more than 40 Jewish men had bound themselves under a curse not to eat or to drink until they had killed Paul. But Paul firmly believed in the sovereignty of God. Paul believed that God had predestinated all events, and he had predestinated people as well as events. And yet, Paul also firmly believed that God included in his providential decrees the very prayers that he had asked his saints to pray so fervently. So you understand, Paul didn't say, well, whatever's going to be, we just leave it there. Don't worry about praying about it. No. He said, pray fervently about this. strive with me together in prayer regarding this. He believed that God, who decreed the ends, also decreed all of the means to the ends. So having others praying for him, Paul could still boldly go into the very lion's den in the midst of his enemies. So the second thing he asked prayer for was not just for himself, but for special protection or deliverance from them that do not believe in Judea. Paul's third desire was that his huge monetary gift that he and his helpers were carrying to Jerusalem would be accepted by the believers in Jerusalem. What does he say there? In the second part of verse 31, he says, pray not only that I be delivered, but pray that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now, he describes that back in verse 25, what it is. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And what had the people done? The people in Macedonia and Achaia, in verse 26, had a certain contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem. There had been the gathering and the gathering in the different churches, this money to help supply the needs of the poor saints in Jerusalem. So he said, pray that that would be received and accepted as an expression of what it was: Christian love and solidarity with the Gentile brethren. Their Gentile brethren and the Jews as one. The middle wall of partition has been broken down. So now we are one in Christ. And we're wanting to show that love by helping you with your need. Well, Paul still had some lurking fears that the Jewish believers would be giving him the cold shoulder when he got there. After all, Paul was the man who had abandoned almost the entirety of the ceremonial law. And what was left of the ceremonial law? The only part you can say that was left at that point from the Council of Jerusalem was that they would not eat meat that had not been properly dressed. If it had been strangled to death, they wouldn't eat it. If it had not been properly bled, they wouldn't eat it. And they also abstained from eating blood. And we know that there, in the Gentile world in particular, a lot of people that eat blood. Doesn't appeal to me, but I've been around people that did. So Paul had abandoned almost all of the ceremonial law except those two things from the Council of Jerusalem. Not eating blood, not eating improperly dressed meat. Paul was hoping that the money gift would help some of the stricter brethren to see that the Gentiles really cared for the poverty-stricken Hebrew brethren. Well, Paul's fourth desire was that he might come to Rome. You see what he says in verse 32? You have the prayers. Each of them have that. He says, pray for me and your prayers to God for me. That, here's one, that I may be delivered. That my service, which I have, be accepted. And then verse 32, that I may come unto you by the will of God. And that's very important. Because remember, the brethren, when they realized he was going to go, no matter what they said, the will of the Lord be done. So Paul's fourth desire was to come to Rome. He wanted to come and meet the many brethren that he only knew about by word of mouth. After all, their faith was so great that it was spoken of throughout the whole world. Chapter 1, verse 8. The Roman church in this original foundation was such a great church that people all over the world were talking about how great their faith was. And then, of course, Paul wanted to come to Rome to see in the church some of his own kinsmen. You'll see in chapter 16 that there were people
in Paul's family that had been converted to the Messiah before he had. And some of them were in the Roman church. And he wanted to see some of his own kinsmen, as well as those that had been helpers to him in his ministry in the past, like Aquila and Priscilla were there. And he wanted to be back with them again. So Paul's fourth desire was to be there and to meet these people and to fellowship with them. But then there's one last desire Paul had. The fifth desire you see in verse 32, he wanted to be refreshed. He says there in verse 32 that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. The original is a little plainer on that, is I want to be refreshed in your presence. Now whether you're refreshed or not, I want to be refreshed. Okay, now there's no doubt that Paul was tired after 3,000 miles of missionary journeys, most of them. Most of those miles on foot, he had already gone. And he still had another 1,000 miles just to get from where he was at that point to get to Jerusalem with a gift. He's writing to the Romans from Corinth, which is in southern Greece. And he's wanting to tell them about how to pray because he's going to Jerusalem. Still got 1,000 miles to go. So you can imagine how tired Paul was after all of those journeys. Besides the travel, Paul was exhausted by study, by writing, by preaching. And you know what else he did? He was a tent maker. So he was a busy man. Then a trip to Rome, and then a trip to Spain was yet to come. So Paul the aged needed some rest and refreshment. And being with friends and family in Rome should help refresh him. So he was looking forward. I want to be refreshed. And I'll be with you. Whether you're refreshed or not, I need to be refreshed. Okay. So the desires of Paul were five. And they were put in five requests for prayer. And do you see how specifically and how mightily God answered every one of those prayers perfectly? The saints of God prayed for him. No doubt the believers in Rome prayed for Paul, and God gave Paul great boldness as he spoke to the mob in Jerusalem that wanted to kill him. They were taking him up the stairs, and those people said, man, just give me a chance and I'll stick him with my dagger. You know, they're going up the stairs with. He said, hold it a minute. Let me talk to these folks. So he preached to them for a while. And once he said something about Gentiles again, they got all worked up again. They were ready to kill him. So the soldiers took him on. But the people prayed for Paul, and God gave him great boldness as he spoke to those persecutors in Jerusalem. And quite miraculously, the second thing was answered. Not only was he given boldness and courage and power himself to preach, but miraculously, Paul was delivered from that second thing he says to pray for, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He was delivered from the mob that had gathered specifically for the purpose of killing him, putting him to death. And they were in the process of doing that. They had him down. Hit him again. Let me hit him. Let me hit him. I want to get him. The Roman commanding officer in Jerusalem heard about the uproar. And the scripture says, with his centurions, the commanders of hundreds, and with the soldiers, they ran, literally ran, broke up the mob, and stopped the beating of Paul. So the prayer for deliverance was answered in a very forceful way. Again, Paul was delivered from them. You remember the secret murder plot of more than 40 men who vowed not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Those guys must have been thirsty and hungry for a long time. Well, God, in His amazing providence, had caused Paul's
nephew to overhear about the plot. And so he went to Paul, and then he went to the commanding officer. And Paul was moved to another city and escaped that murder plot. What an answer to prayer for deliverance. Regarding prayer for the acceptance of the large sum of money for the poor saints, notice the brethren in Jerusalem received it gladly. Acts chapter 21, verse 17. The contribution was accepted with much gratitude. And after that gift, you do not read of any more bickerings between the Jewish and Gentile believers. So that was the third desire of Paul. He said, don't just pray for me, pray for my deliverance, and then pray that my service will be accepted, meaning that large sum of money. The fourth desire of Paul for prayer was his coming to Rome. And that prayer was handily answered by God. He let the Roman government pay Paul's fare all the way to Rome. Paul didn't get there in exactly the same way that he thought he might, but he got there in the will of God. And what did he ask him to pray for in verse 32? That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. And we know that he had joy in it. We know that he was happy because he asked in that last place to be refreshed in verse 32. And you know, by his confinement in a hired house for 2 years, Paul was able to get some rest because he couldn't leave that house. Many Jews and Gentiles came to that house and they heard the gospel there. And Paul enjoyed ministering from that house, even to the guards. And we read that some of Caesar's household got saved as well. Now, isn't that amazing? He's coming right into the lion's mouth. Nero, Caesar, and some of Nero's household got converted. The fellowship and encouragement of God's people caused Paul great joy. As soon as he touched Italy and got out of the ship at Puteoli, the brethren entertained him for a week. They said, we got you here, Paul. We're going to have a good time of fellowship. So they enjoyed it for a week. And then nearer to Rome, the believers came out from those two towns and walked with him to Rome. And what did Paul do when he saw them? We're told in Acts 28 that he thanked God and he took courage as they went on to Rome. So all the prayers were answered in a mighty way. God answers prayer. Did you know that? God answers prayer. We learn here some important lessons. We need to think about these as we come to the close today. Almighty God's predestinating decrees of all events include the heartfelt prayers of His people. You think about that. People need help and they ask you, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. Lord, remember that one.
That was it.
Okay. No. Praying, striving in prayer is an earnest prayer. It has heart and soul in it to God. Not just bless Him. Okay. Almighty God's decrees of predestination include the heartfelt prayers of His people. So we do not need to slack in the matter of prayer. The second lesson is we must pray. Paul was asking the simple, unknown believers, so many of them he didn't even know, to pray. And God moved in answer to their prayers. Prayer does move the hand of that moves the world. It moves the hand of God. The final reason is the fact that they prayed specifically. Did you notice that? There were specific prayer requests. If we pray in general, Lord, just bless them. Bless all of them. Bless all the world. Amen. That's not
very specific.
Not much accomplished that way. For Paul, as he asked, he needed courage, he needed boldness. God gave him these graces to preach, not only before the mobs, but also to preach before the kings. He asked for deliverance from wicked men, and God gave him deliverance in marvelous ways. He asked for acceptance by the Jewish believers, and they received him gladly. And the last two specifics were a visit to Rome and refreshment, and God answered abundantly. Now you think about that. Let us remember this, that if we're going to pray, what's the great lesson here? Pray specifically. All of these specific requests were prayed for specifically, and God answered all of them specifically. So let us remember this, and may the Lord help us to pray fervently and specifically. I think it's just the most wonderful thing to see how
Paul asked them to pray. They prayed, and every one of the prayers were answered dead on.
So,